Call to order the meeting of the Board of Fire Commissioners of the Kootenai Fire District, Tuesday, July 10th, 2018, 5:30 p.m. Commissioner Pisano present.
Commissioner Conley.
Commissioner Zace present.
Chief Ruth.
Thank you. We have a notice that the meeting is being recorded by Amy Cates. So we call the meeting to order and begin with public comment.
I have two questions about the agenda, if I may. Sorry, was
sure.
Public comment asked and answered, basically?
Yes.
The first question is, is this intended to be, so I didn't have a chance, no one, as far as I, except the special committee, has had a chance to meet you, right? So how did that, when we last met, we were talking about having an opportunity, so the public having an opportunity to meet you and so forth. So just, that's a question of, seems like now we're going to make a decision, or just, you know, essentially ratify the decision that committee has made. That's a question. The second one is, what, when I was going through all the documentation, why are we having a contract or a three-year contract for Chris? Not that I mind you having that. I'm just wondering.
Okay, the first question. We had 12 applicants. We interviewed three. And a lot of the applicants, so six of them we think we threw out because there were obvious issues that we weren't compatible with our organization. Of the six that were remaining, three of them had...
Those qualification, mostly, for this place?
The six that we get rid of? No, they were criminal issues.
Oh.
The other six, we only had three that had firefighter one and two, which normally in the past hasn't been a requirement for us, but the State Fire Academy is very booked up. The Barnstable Fire Academy is busy. The quickest we could get that person trained to firefighter one, firefighter two, would be at the State Academy, and it wouldn't start until probably January. So we would have to carry somebody as an employee and cover them with an extra person on the shift until probably March, at a cost of about $100,000. So we immediately figured, you know what, we're just going to look at the three people that have firefighter one and two and avoid the $100,000 fee, which we had not budgeted. So we interviewed three people. The committee was unanimous in support of the gentleman that's here tonight, and we planned on bringing him here to meet the committee, because that was one of the requests. And yes, we were hoping to have a motion to extend a offer to hire this individual at that point in time.
Okay, right.
And Chief, Commissioner Conley, just want to add on to that. Casey Staggs was by far the best qualified and the best candidate that we had. And as the chief said, was an absolute unanimous recommendation.
Right. And we can talk about that in a minute. I mean, or we can talk about it now. The qualifications are extensive, and we are very lucky.
Yeah, no, I went through everything.
Okay.
All I could do is read.
Right. Right. Well, we'll have a chance to ask questions now if you choose to do that. That's acceptable. Absolutely.
I was just more asking about the process. And
right.
Than Casey's qualification and one of my daughters.
Absolutely, yeah.
Who are clearly in support of the candidacy.
I hope so. the second question. I think it's going to be a fairly in-depth conversation. I mean, I don't know if we want to save that until we get to that part, but
we can. That's
we don't. So I guess the question is, do we have to have a contract? No, we don't have to have a contract. Are there benefits to having a contract? Yes. And we can talk about what the benefits and the pluses and the minuses of having a contract might be, and what that contract, if you decide that you want to extend and sign one, what that would include. Is that?
I'm not a huge fan. I don't like surprising other people, and so it was a surprise. That's all.
Well, we talked about it at the last meeting. I thought I was instructed at the last commissioners meeting to come back with a contract.
I thought it was about benefits, with modifying some of the things about the new state laws around,
That was going to be a part of it.
Yeah. And so it seem to have evolved into, and it may be correct to evolve, it's so, just contracts tend to lock us in, and again, Chris, please don't take this in any other way. I just...
Right. No, I understand what you're saying, and that's up to you guys when we have this conversation, but yeah, I mean, just having a... what was the other thing called we had? It was a job description benefits. I mean, essentially, that's a contract. You guys voted on and approved at a meeting, it becomes a contract to some degree. Yes, we had to modify some things because it didn't comply with the new article that was passed at district town meeting. So we had to modify the employment agreement, the benefits, job description anyways.
Right. The only difference that I can tell between sort of, having a job, so to speak, and having a contract that has a term to it is just that, has a term to it.
Right.
Now, again, I saw it for the first time this afternoon. Anyway, so I was just wondering how we got there.
It was my understanding from the previous meeting that we were going to codify these issues into a contract proposal that would provide a formalized structure for debating how much, which, put in a single package.
Chalk it up to inaccurate memory. I just don't recall that. And it's not like I'm doubting that was the outcome. I just hadn't recalled that. So therefore, when I saw that, I was like, well,
nobody's locked in anything. It's a discussion to have, and it's just completely under all three of your controls, so how we proceed.
Well, why don't we can discuss that when we get to it. But.
All right, let's pick up on the agenda. Review and approval of previous meeting minutes. Do you have copies, or have you had a chance to review?
I reviewed them this afternoon.
As have I. I have a copy. Have you?
I have.
Are there any concerns or questions about the
minutes?
I move we accept them as printed. Do I have a second?
Second.
In favor, Pisano?
Conley.
Zace.
Sign this copy for your records, Chief.
I'll have to go back and read the, listen to the.
Thank you.
And the Chief's report.
With your permission, can we go right to the new buyer? And
yes.
Leave so the little girls don't have to listen to us all night long?
Drone on,
right. I guess I already said a lot of this. We had a committee formed up of the union president, Shane Clark, Lieutenant McNamara, myself, Commissioner Connolly, and Chris Varley. We ended up with a total of three people to interview that had their qualifications to start, jump on the ground running. Two of them had the Fire Academy at Stowe, which was about a $40,000 savings out of the district budget, sending somebody there. Casey Staggs was one of them. We interviewed all three. Casey, Mr. Paramedic Staggs, did an amazing job in the interview. I think he had unanimous support from the committee. We've called and done background checks, which came back extremely positive. He's got over 5 years full-time experience on Thalma Fire Department. As a paramedic firefighter, he's been to the State Fire Academy, Firefighter 1, Firefighter 2. He's been in the fire service, I think, his whole career. He's got a four-year college degree in fire science. We believe him to be a very competent and going to be an extremely good addition to Kootenai Fire District.
I went through the application,
right.
Casey, and all the background, the things that I saw.
Right.
It's very impressive.
So I'll let Casey say some, maybe stand up and tell you a little bit about himself, and afterwards we can talk about the motions we would make, and there's still some further hoops to jump through before it would be official. It still remains to do a physical, a PAT test, a physical ability test, a physical, and a Corey check, and a drug test. So there's still a few paperwork to get done after the fact, if indeed the commissioners make the decision to make an offer proposal tonight.
But we would certainly invite the candidate to address the meeting.
First of all, thank you for having me. It's nice to be here. Chief, I appreciate the opportunity to come and speak for you guys. So a little bit about myself. I was born and raised down south in the state of Arkansas. As far back as I can
I've already had an opportunity to meet and chat with him.
I can't think of, you know, a really awesome question to come up with about, you know, what's the CO2, you know, mix for the, I can't do stuff like that.
You can try.
No. Hashtag fail. So. No, I think it's, I wish I could have had the opportunity, but there's circumstances that prevented that, the way the state runs these things. So great to meet you. Thanks for bringing the kids by. I certainly hope. Did you happen to go to the 4th of July parade?
We were actually out of the state. We went to the 4th of July meeting. We were camping in Hershey.
Oh, okay. Well, next year you can bring your candy bags. You get candy at the 4th of July parade. But other than that, no. Nice to meet you. And do you have anything to say?
I do have one other thing to say too.
I would love to hear sort of what the committee's thoughts were.
So we did, when we called Casey up and we said, you know, we'd like to make the recommendation that you are our first choice for the committee for the fire commissioners to appoint.
It was clear that bringing other people to this meeting to sort of have the public.
The other candidates?
Yeah.
I think it was clear, the other candidates, that if you didn't like Casey, we were going to go back to ground zero and start from scratch again, I think is what it probably would happen. So it was clear that he was our top candidate.
I like Casey.
I like him a lot. And you know what? We were really looking for someone that's a good fit for us, but the unique thing about Casey is when we called him up and said, we'd really like you to consider this, he said, well, can I come try it out? Can I come to a shadow day at Kootenai Fire and see if it's a good fit for me? So he was concerned enough to make sure it was a good fit for him and for us, and he came and spent the day with us at the fire station, working alongside the guys. We got a tour of the town, washed a bunch of fire trucks. We had had some burgers and dogs at lunchtime on the grill. And after that, he figured it was a good fit for him. So I'm glad he took the time to think hard about this being a good place for him. Mm-hmm. So thought that was pretty impressive myself as well.
Yeah. Okay.
But it was clear that he's a first choice for us, and he would be a great fit for us, I think, for the organization.
Commissioner Connolly, do you have anything to add?
So, Casey, it was a pleasure meeting you. I think you did a fantastic job in the interviews at every stage, every level. So thank you for that. Appreciate your time. I do have one concern, and that is, it's my understanding you're a Razorback.
Oh, boy.
Now, there are some gators in the building.
Yes.
So, I mean, do you foresee that being an issue at all?
No. I spoke to John, who I'll be on the show for. He's a big Florida Gators fan.
Fair enough. That was my biggest concern. So, thank you for addressing that.
No, you should start rooting for BC now. There you go. No, because it's not as good.
I think the
lacrosse is much better.
Yep.
That was a great question, Kevin.
All right, before we get into a sports brawl,
can I make a motion?
I would like to entertain a motion.
I'd like to make a motion that we move forward with Casey to be brought on board as a Kootenai firefighter. The chief should continue the process, and that the board vote tonight to continue that process and to ultimately offer Casey a position.
I second the motion. Any other discussion? All in favor? Pisano?
Connolly?
Zace?
It's unanimous.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hope to finish the rest of the process quickly.
If you guys have any questions, give me a call. Chief's got my cell phone number.
Okay. We're going to publish that on the web and get it out. Very nice.
Thank you.
Bye, guys. Bye, Annabelle. Bye, Liam.
Continue the report.
One closing comment.
She said the gate.
I'm relieved to hear that it really just it wasn't a horse race whatsoever. It was like a clear winner, so to speak.
Yes.
You don't have to answer that. It's just a statement.
It was a clear winner.
To hear
yeah.
Judging by the documentation that you provided, he has everything that we need to feel like he's not only just another person, but he's a good addition with his experience and so forth to the force. You know, we want people to feel like, hey, you know, we're hiring great people here, and it's still the proof of the pudding is in the eating, of course. But
yes,
the people will need to get to know him. But we'll have that.
I agree. And the contract provides for a one-year probationary period that he can be terminated for pretty much any reason. Not that we see that happening. I actually feel very fortunate that we found him. A lot of other departments are trying to hire medics right now, and they're getting zero applicants. Bourne put it out, and they got nobody to apply. There's not a lot out there right now. And like I said, more than half of our candidates, just a simple search of the Cape Cod Times showed that they were not people that would fit into this organization. So it's gonna be a problem in the future, and I think the fire chiefs in Mass, or Barnstable County fire chiefs, are gonna start putting more effort towards building a pool of applicants. We have an internship program that's worked out pretty good for the Barnstable High School, and we have an intern. Hopefully, we've been doing interviews that'll probably start in September. But I think we need to do a better job of publicizing the firefighting profession, encouraging people to get trained in it, because there's very few applicants out there, and it's a good pay and it's a great job, and it's kind of frustrating that there's not a lot of people out there looking at it. So it's going to be a problem.
If we can shift back to the agenda at the top, the fire chief's report with monthly activities. And
sure.
Go from there.
Okay. Responses. We did 68 total responses June. Sorry. 44 medical, 30 were hazardous conditions, 21 were service, good intent, or false alarms. Of note, we had an incident on the 5th, at 1 o'clock in the morning on July 5th. I know it's this month, but I wanted to bring it to your attention. There were two 22-year-olds who were in charge, and there was at least two explosions in town. With explosive devices. One was planted in the portable toilet at the town dock and blew the toilet and the material in about a 20-foot radius. The other one...
Material?
Material, like yes. The, hit the fan, yep.
The material hit the fan?
It did. And the second one was planted in a portable toilet at Luke Beach, and we believe, I don't know if they've added it to the charge, but there was something, a damage done to the lifeguard stand, too, probably from another explosive device.
What was the third one, Chief?
The lifeguard stand at Luke Beach.
Life Bright. Okay.
The lifeguard stand. The wood
lifeguard stand.
The lifeguard stand. The wood was destroyed and pushed away from it. It looked like, in my view, from probably an explosive device. The police responded after the first one. After some good eyewitness accounts, they... pulled over a suspect in town, found multiple additional explosive devices in the car, and have placed them under arrest. They've been charged. There's a little miscommunication. We didn't get notified about it till later on the next day, but we've done the documentation and filed with the state police fire marshal's office. So that's all been filed and done. Today we had more information. We suspected there might be more of these devices in a home. And we searched a home in town today, found nothing. So we're hoping that was a false information we got. But just want to make you aware of it. The devices they used, we're not exactly sure what they were. We believe they might have been purchased in Florida or manufactured by the individuals. They were 6 inches long, up to 1.5 inches in diameter. Appeared to be, I think Commissioner Pisano said, maybe a quarter stick of dynamite type material. So
homemade, like pipe bombs.
No, it wasn't metal.
These are commercially available.
Could have been.
They are approximately a quarter stick of dynamite in power.
Yeah.
They can do a lot of damage.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So I'll make you aware of that.
If you would just elaborate what you told me about the interaction with the police department.
So the police department wasn't aware that by law, the fire department has a responsibility to investigate cause and origin of any type of explosion or explosive device and file reports with the fire marshal's office within 48 hours. So we made them aware of that. They didn't, if it was a fire, I think they would have known, but instinctively they didn't think explosive was something up, you know, that we had a responsibility to. So they're aware of that now. They're making that notification to all their officers so they know in the future if there's an explosive device or potential that they have to notify us so we can investigate and file our reports. But they're all on board now. So,
Chief, was that communicated to the Barnstable Police Chief directly?
Yes, directly to the Barnstable Police Chief the fire investigators for the Barnstable Police Department. They have a couple of guys that are trained as fire investigators as well.
Okay, thank you. One question I have is that what's the mix of mutual aid runs? Either other people coming to us for helping out relative to these responses, or us going and helping other districts?
So I think about, I don't know the percentages in front of me, but it's approximately 12 to 15% of our calls are mutual aid to other towns. So about 100 calls a year. We do about 850 calls a year. About 100 of those are mutual aid to other communities.
Okay,
mutual aid to us, I believe it's about, maybe about 50, I think, probably. So we go mutual aid to other communities more than they come to us.
Would it be a hardship on data extraction to add this to the...
This is something I've been actually watching very closely, and I've got a file on mutual aid and how often we go, and it's something I'm keeping a close eye on to make sure that it is indeed mutual.
Right.
Is that what you're looking or talking
right.
about?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's something that's been a concern, and I think I've been working with...
Well, I don't know if it's a concern, but it's an interest.
It's a concern for me, and I've been working on
yeah.
it. So I've been communicating with at least the Mashpee Fire Department on a regular basis to try to ensure that it is mutual. And that's going to be something that's going to be a continued effort going forward to make sure that we're not the solution to their emergency management problems.
Or, I mean, that we're glossing over some issue that we have that other guys are supporting.
Right.
It goes both ways.
You know, generally in a fire, we don't have enough staff to handle a real fire. In a real house fire, we need multiple engine companies from other communities. So we depend on mutual aid from other communities. But like I said, it needs to be mutual. As long as it's an equal, you know, we're getting as much from them as they're getting from us, then it's a benefit. If it goes the other way too much, then it's something that needs to be adjusted in some way, whether it's a financial adjustment or a response adjustment or something needs to get worked out differently. And that's something I've been looking really closely at and working with particularly Mashpee on.
Yeah. Well, just like the Comstar, you know, the ambulance stuff would be great to have that added into.
Yeah. No, I will add that in. Next month I'll bring that print out and we can discuss that more too if you'd like.
Well, I think it's kind of like a dashboard, just sort of, are we in a green condition or yellow or red?
We're in a yellow condition. It's something that it needs to be monitored very closely. And this is more discussion that has to take place to make sure that it's working.
Okay.
So I would say we're getting the assistance we need without a problem. I feel like sometimes maybe we're providing more than we should, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's table that till we have the data in front of us next
month. Okay.
Is that all right?
All right, that's fine, yeah.
And to the point of these reports, the Comstar report that you received to look at, if you notice, it only goes through January.
Right, there's a flip over to Pro EMS, right?
There's a flip over, yeah.
And so they're still working out retroactively back through January, but when they finally wrap that end of the report will disappear.
Right.
Which should be at the end of July. They should know they should transfer all their old agent accounts over to Pro EMS.
Yes. Wrapping up.
Yep.
Okay.
So that's why you have two reports and it makes it more confusing. Administration, we've been busy with the end of the year, so our fiscal year just ended. We've been busy trying to close out accounts, everything balanced, no problem. We didn't overspend in personnel or operating budgets. We've also reset our balances for the year, so our computer tracks our lead balances for everybody, so that's all been reset for the computers, so we don't have any issues there. Computer-aided dispatch for the vehicle, so it's part of our ongoing computer our technology increase for the fire department. We've our reports now are tied into our dispatch system, so all the times are time-stamped. Everything we say is typed in and in the logs automatically. The next step is for us to get this information in the vehicles. So we have, with the end of the year budget money, we paid for the software. We have the computers. We have a couple extra iPads that we had from before I got here to put in the trucks. So we will now get, very shortly, get the CAD data to the front of the vehicles. So when you get in your ambulance or engine, we have two vehicles that will have it. It'll say, respond to, give you the information. It'll give you a map showing you how to get there. As you get closer, it'll zoom in, show you outlines of the house from the aerial GIS. It'll show you hydrant locations. There'll be timestamp buttons so you can stamp on location, responding, which will automatically log to our records management system as well. It'll have hazmat information, anything, pre-plans that have been done. So it'll be a big aid to the response. It'll give you, more importantly, a lot of times it's just to get you there. So a lot of times there won't be a house number in a house. And you walk, as you're driving down, we had it in Calm when I was there. As you're driving down the road, you look down at the map in front of you, you can see your truck driving down the road, and you can see the next house on your left is number 80, regardless if it's labeled or not. Or you can see there's a long driveway and you got to go in the back. And dispatch can see us, so they can watch us in the dispatch center driving down the road, and they know exactly where we are all the time, and they can tell us if we drove by it. And we'll also be able to see incoming companies. So when Calm comes Mutual Aid, we'll see all their companies coming, and we'll know when their ladder's approaching or when their engine's approaching. So it'll be a big, big benefit.
So are we talking like end of the month, end of the summer?
Yeah, by the end of the summer at the latest. We have the computers. We are depending, so I guess that's a new version they released for the mobile version of the trucks, and to make it work, they need Calm, Centerville Fire, to update their version of their computer-aided dispatch. So we're depending on them to get that done. So it's not 100% under our control. I would think, worst case, by the end of the summer, they'll be in the trucks and up and running. Could be earlier. Hoping earlier.
Good. Yeah, I'd be interested in.
Yeah, no, it's pretty amazing technology. It's a big difference. Computers. So we also had, I forgot to mention last month, we had the state ambulance inspection just before our last monthly meeting. I don't have a date in front of me. It went really well. They were very surprised that we did as well as we did, I guess, given past inspections. They gave us a full 1 year license going forward. So we've been licensed for the next year for providing medical services. They always find some little thing. I think there was one or two classes we had to catch up on. So there was a stretcher class that we had scheduled to teach the next month. The stretcher company came in and taught that. But other than that, it went really well. Thanks to Shane Clark, the EMS officer. That was all his doing. He did a great job, and he's worked very hard to get us up to speed again. We're still working with the town of Barnesville and Open Cape to get high-speed data.
It seems like it's going to be on our agenda.
That might be on there. Maybe I'll just take it off because we're working on it, but it's we're depending on them to get stuff done, and it's not getting done. So we'll push it to the next step. And it's not the end of the world not getting it, but it's something in the future that we want to get done, and it'll open doors down the road to make things better for us. So we're gently pushing, and we can push a little harder. Training. So we had some other end of the year money I used to buy some dive team equipment. So we don't have a dive team. Calm has a dive team, Hyannis has a dive team, and there is a county team. Calm's dive team has been active for over 20 years. I was on it for about 16 years. I've got all the training to be a dive, to do dive rescue, search and rescue, recovery. I probably should have brought it to you first, but this wasn't a large investment of money. And by having the equipment in my car, we get somebody in the water on scene much quicker than anything else. So for a small investment in equipment, there's no training costs, there's no other cost to the district by having this equipment in the back of my car. If we have someone go through the ice or drown at a beach, we get someone in the water immediately versus waiting for the dive team to come in from Calm. So the plan was to get the equipment, and then once a month there's a training with Calm dive team that I would attend.
What was the, how much money did you have to spend on all this?
It was, I think the equipment we just bought was about $3,000. Some of the equipment was already at the station, so we already had a full face mask that was sitting there brand new in a box from the previous fire chief. There was a brand new tank sitting there, but we had to fill in with the other stuff. So for a couple $1,000s, we filled in the rest of the blanks, and I think it just gives us a little more ability to respond to some emergencies for a very low cost.
Who else in the station is qualified?
Nobody.
Is anyone interested?
Yes. We have people that would like to do that. There's going to be a significant cost to getting someone up to speed and trained to that level. We've had two people approach me and ask to do that. We're waiting to get the specifics on how much it would cost. And I'll bring that to you. I guess we have to discuss whether that cost is worth it to us or not. So I will bring that to you in a future meeting with the exact cost and timetable it would take to get somebody up to speed to also do that, perform that skill.
Chief, without getting into the names, are either one of those people already Patty or any other certificate?
No.
Certified?
Okay. It's either starting from scratch. I know at Comfire they didn't even take you unless you got some of the classes on your own. So, but the contract, the union contract we have is specific that any training they do has to be paid at overtime. So there's some complications there that there may be some solutions that we work out. But we'll get the information together and proposal for the commissioners if that's something that is interesting.
Have we any historical data on the potential or
how often it's used?
How often we
I don't have it in front of me.
It?
I don't know. I know there have been drownings in Katua before, at least several that I can think of. I don't know how often. It's probably not very often.
Recent memory?
There was one, I think there was a person that drowned off of Loop Beach just before I got here, maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah.
That was...
I haven't heard of it. Living under a rock.
I don't know. I can get the information for you. I don't
no,
know
no,
how many.
It's
not an everyday occurrence. I mean, it's probably a every couple of years occurrence. But I figured for the cost
no,
of the equipment,
the,
it was
the entire
worth
context
it.
Of the fire department is a hedge, right?
It is. Oh, we're insurance. We pay for insurance and hope you never use us.
Right.
We're the insurance policy.
That's
exactly.
That's
what we
the
are.
Best thing.
Yeah. So I guess my opinion was it was a cheap insurance policy to get a little bit more ability or capability mm-hmm. for us. So, but I'll get the information on potentially others that may or may not want to do it and what it would cost.
Yeah, I very much like to look at that because although it's nice to have the hedge, I'm not terribly excited about you being the one going in the water.
Right.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's just, it's...
I understand.
I'm cheap.
It is.
I'm trained. I'm ready to go. It's just cheap equipment to throw me in the water for the first couple minutes till the dive team shows up. And Calm will show up with mm-hmm. you know, 10 people, but it's going to take a while. The state police may show up as a recovery option, but they're hours away. So,
right. Okay.
Other training, vehicle extrication training, we've got it scheduled. We're going to do a joint program with Mashpee Fire. That's the 12th, 13th, 16th, and 19th of July. So it'll be a joint.
Where will that be at?
It's either going to be, they're going to either move the vehicles to the Mashpee Fire Station and do it in their lot, or it's going to be at AA Towing on Bodine Road, which is kind of in between us, off of, you know, by Batellos, basically. Uh-huh. There's a towing place across
yeah.
the yard that use their
yeah.
vehicles. So they've done it at both places. I don't know if they settled on which location it would be at. So we'll lose people to, you know, we're trying to do the duty personnel, so the three people on duty would go and would cover with one or two people in overtime that I would help supplement them. And the crew at Mashpee would be available to respond back if we had a call. So that's the plan. PTSD training. So Barnstable Police has been approached. We did some mental health training a couple months ago with yeah. Heidi Wright. Barnstable Police is looking at developing a company approaching to develop a PTSD training video, and they've approached the fire department to help them with that, given the officer that was shot in the line of duty recently. So we're going to work with them on that. And we're also, Chris Dolly is going to contact Heidi Wright and organize some more training programs with her. She did a phenomenal job. We are working on an SLG for an active shooter. I don't have anything today. I wish I did. It's been a really busy month, so I don't have anything to offer there, unfortunately. ComStar Pro EMS, like you said, there are two reports. I did include something different this month, which I thought you might find interesting. In the reports, right here, they actually provided, ComStar, Pro EMS provided a cost, a reimbursement we had per for insurance as opposed to Medicare and Medicaid. So I thought that was...
What was the name of that file, Chief?
What's that?
What is the name of that file? 01 Kituit Mass Rec Summary 4518? No.
Yeah, it might be the summary. I'm sure I had it right here. Don't hire it out of me. I brought it.
We have one on the activity tracking report that's total numbers, and I had seen the other one. I'm trying to remember which one it was that had it broken down by.
All right, it slipped out of my file. I apologize. If you get a chance to look at it, it's very interesting. It shows
reimbursements. No, not this one, right?
It shows Medicare and Medicaid reimbursements are around $400. So if we do a Medicare Medicaid patient, which is about 50% of our calls, we get reimbursed about $400. And then the other 50% are private insurance. The private insurance companies are paying, I think it was $1,400, mm-hmm. right around that range. So mm-hmm. it just shows, you know, our billing rates have gone up, but it only applies to maybe 30 to 40% of our calls. So 30, 40% of our calls, we're recovering over $1,000 per incident, which is about what our cost probably is. But we don't recover our cost. It's just, it is what it is. That's the reality that most of the whole state lives with. So I thought that was something of interest you could take a look at. Personnel, Christian Gardner has completed his PAT testing and his physical. He's just doing his paperwork now with accounting to get put on board as a call firefighter. Casey, we already spoke with and worked with him. Two contract issues. Do you want to work on that now or save that till later on, or what do you want to?
Let's take them on.
Okay. So first contract issue is an amendment. So I prepared an amendment to my contract to remove the paramedic requirement as per our discussion at the executive session. What my writing was altered substantially by the district lawyer. Mary Louise Kelly rewrote it, and you've got a copy there to consider. So what it does is remove the paramedic requirement from my contract. In our discussion, we discussed the substantial time that would be put into me completing the paramedic requirement and the resulting 2 days a week that I'd be able to work for an extended period of time. And the new EMS officer and the two paramedics we have generally on duty every day, in my opinion, didn't make sense to complete it. It would make more sense to remove that requirement. Let me focus on the administrative stuff.
You want to give any background to that, or just for the record?
Well, we discussed it in executive session and pending legal opinion, which we now have. So those minutes will be released as soon as I get them out of my chicken scroll.
Okay.
But basically, it's what we talked about in that meeting, that the cost benefit has shifted significantly by having Chris take on the EMS coordinator and Shane take on the EMS officer position. Our need to have the chief in a position to cover those roles has been alleviated in the cost to the district of the time and the coverage.
Yeah, no, I was in agreement. I just wanted people to hear this in general.
So those were the relevant dimensions that that we reviewed, and
this is terse or concise.
It is,
but it's fine.
I had written more that this was the lawyer's opinion that she wanted this.
Yeah.
So
I'm gonna make a motion that we accept as presented by the chief.
Second.
All in favor? Zano.
Conley.
Zace.
Unanimous. I have a printed copy. I'm gonna sign and pass it around.
If you need any help transcribing those, just let me know. I'm happy to help you get, or if you could just maybe ask her. Where do I sign here?
Yeah. And Chief, this would this copy should go to the. This is the 10th.
I've got a copy of the date on it, but can I?
Okay. 11.
You want to sign up on the date? Actually, I changed the effective date too. Mary Lee suggested we.
Well, this is the copy I printed out from Mary Lee's response.
Mary Elise, in her email, said you might want to change the effective date of it to December, but either way, it's fine. It doesn't make any difference. That's the only change on that one, was the effective
date.
Oh,
I see. Great. Okay. Let's do that one, because that was the intent. And then the signed copy should be forwarded to the Prudential Committee.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I'm pleased that we have your attention on things that need your attention.
Complete.
Okay, there's another one.
Another one. next.
Next is... go ahead.
Do you want to?
No.
Okay, so the we discussed last week the benefits for the EMS coordinator and how they fit into the new district amendment that we have to comply with Mass General Law. I got the law number here if it matters.
It's
Chapter 149, Section 148C. So the existing job description for the EMS manager, office manager, did not comply with that. So Commissioner Pisano and Chris have been working on coming up with a contract which would fulfill all the EMS job descriptions and the benefits in a more of a contract type format, which is, I've been emailed to everybody, and it's actually in the packet I gave
you.
Yeah, it's a hard copy there as well. So there's a couple reasons to do that. So having a contract, a three-year contract, extends it a year past my contract, so that typically when people leave, it doesn't have to be, but it can be at the end of a contract period. It's more likely to be at the end of a contract period than the middle of the contract. So the idea is to try to make sure we both don't leave at the same time. That's one reason. Two, it gives somebody a measure of ownership, a measure of commitment to the organization, more of a commitment to them, and vice versa. So it spells out expectations of each other. So it does that. Does it guarantee someone a job? No. There's still progressive discipline that everybody's expected, held to. There's still termination for just cause. It doesn't guarantee somebody a job or protect their job. I don't believe it protects their job any more than not having a contract, or very little. It spells out what they can be disciplined for. But it basically is the expectations. It's the job description with benefits, which is what we had. So you've also got a copy of what we had for a job description and benefits. Mm-hmm. And then we have the new contract that has been worked on. So we left out the raise every year. I left that line blank, so we can talk about that. My contract provides for a 2.5% raise every year. My motion would be we make it the same, but that's a great thing for you. We also changed the sick leave. So sick leave right now, she can carry 40 hours a year sick leave. That's the requirement of the state law we adopted. So that is in there. She carries 40 hours a year. Not all of it, just 40 hours. That's what this state law we adopted accommodates, or spells out.
And it remains to be seen about being allowed to buy back unused sick time.
That was a proposal that we had, to buy back sick time, and it was the same as, she can only carry 40 hours a year, but it's the same as the union. So we took the union language and put that in there, which is the same language as my contract, to buy back the 25%. And we put the union disciplinary action in there, so it's the same progressive discipline that it's pretty much we're held to, regardless if it's in contract.
Before we move on past that, and there's an awful lot of information.
There's a lot of information,
and
yes.
And I personally don't think that this would take some time to review, in my opinion.
Yep.
And my suggestion right now is that this is not something that should be voted on tonight. My first question, however, would be, there is going to be a buyback option, since you just mentioned it. There's a buyback option for sick time.
That's something we propose in the contract, yes. The same as my contract and the union contract has. We proposed the same language, which was not in the existing contract. Correct. existing description benefit sheet. It's a change.
So in other words, if 40 hours wasn't used, the person would get paid for 10 hours when they left.
When they retired or, retired or left. Not when they're termination. Termination, they get nothing, and not every year, just at the termination or leaving the position. Yes, they would get paid for 25%.
And that's not required by state law, correct?
That is not required by state law.
Okay. Where is that, Chief? That particular?
That's towards the end. It's on.
Section E. Thank you.
E. Yeah.
You got Section E, sick leave, yeah. On page 3.
Chief, what is the benefit to the district in this contract? I know you made a statement a few minutes ago, but what, if you would indulge me, what is the benefit to the district in signing a 3-year contract for this position?
So, in my opinion, the benefit is we show a commitment to a staff member that hopefully encourages them to make this career or stay in this position longer. There's obviously a training cost for anybody new. If we lose the current person in this position, there's a cost to the district. If we show a commitment to that person and show, and I'm not saying we're not, I'm saying this, in my opinion, does show a little bit more of a commitment that we want to keep you here and we're going to give you these benefits over the next 3 years and we don't want you looking somewhere else for something different. So that's the benefit. Is there a financial benefit? Other than if there was a change, it would be a large training cost or could be potentially a large training cost to find somebody new. That's.
So the benefit to the district is kind of an intangible, which is a commitment to the person.
Yes.
And hopefully by default that would mean the person would be committed to the district is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. And for that, we would be committing ourselves to 3 years worth of employment for the person.
No. So the contract also specifies progressive discipline and termination for cause, which I think you need those reasons to get rid of somebody anyways. Does that lock us into 3 years with them? I don't think we're much more locked in than we already have. The job description we have says this is what we expect of you and this is what the benefits are. I guess in the likely event that we ran out of funding, we would have a harder time letting somebody go for a 3-year contract because we already committed to the funding. So that would be the time we might be locked in. But in general, I think we're expecting this position to last for the foreseeable future. And the only way we'd want to get rid of someone is if it was for performance issues. And I don't think this makes us lose any of those discipline options for performance issues. Does that make sense?
It does, but there's a certain bar that has to be met relative to performance issues.
Yes.
Correct?
Yep.
And I would suggest, and I'm not a lawyer, although I've dealt with HR issues in the past, that once you memorialize something in a contract, the situation changes relative to how you move forward. It just does. That's reality. And I think a lawyer would tell us that. Has legal counsel looked at this document yet? Okay.
No, I wanted to get your input first. And, I mean, we could certainly ask legal counsel if this removes any of our, what we lose, what the fire district loses in options as a result of this contract and what we gain. So, I mean, it does spell out more disciplinary issues. If you do X, you know, Y will happen. This spells some of that out, which isn't spelled out right now.
And
so maybe it gives us some more options. Like I said, I'm not a lawyer either, so that's
right.
a good question to ask.
So in a job description, which is what you're describing,
yes,
right, with everything here with one exception, which is term in one sentence or two sentences under term, everything here is a job description.
Yes, and benefits, right?
Truly is, right?
Yep.
Job description and benefits
yes.
is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
By the signature page and by the term, we change it to a contract. Mm-hmm. So the terms of the disciplinary that you're referring to,
yep.
Could be put in place
yes.
by a vote anyways.
Yes.
So all those things can be put there.
Yes.
So to come back to the benefits that you're stating is, commitment to the person, theoretical commitment to us.
Yeah.
Right? I think we all know that if for some reason, if a person was in that position and they were under a 3-year contract and they decided to leave after 2 years, the district's not going to do anything about that. The district really has no recourse.
No, they don't. They've got the option of leaving anytime they want, pretty much.
That's right.
Yep,
and,
with no
and however, provided they meet the absolute minimum requirements, we would not have an option with them.
Correct, so, but I think we're probably close to the same with the existing. I think if they meet the minimum requirements of the existing job description, we're probably as locked in to some degree, unless we unfund the position.
So it, perhaps, and that's obviously a recourse. So the other piece to that that comes in is benefit I get. What we are potentially putting on the table is a lock-in of 3 years, right? And on top of that, putting in there a benefit of buyback that is a union negotiated thing, right? Something that was a benefit for you coming in as a professional
right.
chief. So basically what we're giving is two things.
Yes.
As far as this device and piece of paper
yes.
we're doing, we're giving two things, and what we're getting back is goodwill.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I wanted to make sure that that was understood and I understood the parameters there.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Is that Commissioner Bazzano, is that your opinion?
Yes.
Okay.
What makes this kind of an odd conversation is we know the person that this is talking about.
Yes.
And my aspiration here is that the person filling the job and the job meet in a way that is empowering for that person and satisfying to to the context in which he works, which is the fire department. I am, generally speaking, I would prefer to have that agreement be something that just feels right, as opposed to be called. It just feels like I don't know if I am as excited about the word contract, the term, and so
right.
forth. I would much rather have the conversation be this is the including things like salary, compensation adjustments annually. The,
right.
The water department just went through a big thing to get people up, or one person
right.
anyway, up to a place that felt right. And I think we would want to do that
right.
too. So I just don't know how much of a hole this actually fills for you, and certainly from my perspective, for me, and the town.
Right.
I certainly agree that the benefits that we need to be in compliance with the state. We want, I really want the best for you, and,
right.
and vice versa. But so where I'm going with this, I would like not to have to vote on this right now because I'd like us to continue the discussion.
Yes.
If I may, Commissioner Conley, the only other comment I was going to make is as much as we know the person involved here, and we all have at least I have a very positive opinion, this isn't about a person, this is about a precedent,
right.
and it is about a position. And I know when you're talking about money, job, security, it is very personal, so I get that. But I believe this board has to look at this from a perspective of a role and a precedent that would be potentially set here.
I agree.
And I would like to interject that I've been one of the people pushing for this to be formalized as a contract because this position has evolved so significantly in the last few years. When this position was expanded to cover at least come close to covering what was needed in there by way of office management and taking on the responsibilities of the EMS coordinator, these things built the role up quite significantly over the last couple of years, and we have been bootstrapping things onto it as we proceeded. And I'd like to take the opportunity, whether we call it a contract or not, to have a formalized, embodied, yes, it sets a precedent that with a large position that requires diverse skills and responsibilities, and it's going to be a valuable role.
Absolutely.
I would like to get things in order in this kind of document. I guess we could strike the word contract from the top. That's of secondary importance to me. But the idea that we are making a commitment in time, we're making a commitment in money and benefits, but we're expecting a great deal back. And that's separate from the individual.
Right. Okay. So I don't disagree that the position should be memorialized in a document. That is a job description. Call it something more fancy if you want, but that's what it is. When you put in terms, that's when it becomes a contract, whether you put the word contract on top of it or not. And maybe that's something that has to be discussed with the lawyer to get the specifics. Mm-hmm. So I get that the position has evolved. I think as a board, we have also looked at the salary associated with that position and the benefits associated with that position over the course of the last year and made business decisions as best we could that said we want to pay a certain amount in order to entice that person to be in that position. And that was just done very recently. So now what I see in front of us is a commitment of time and a commitment of additional benefits and extra monies, right, as far as the 25% buyback, and whatever else might be in here if there is anything else. So I get it. I get that it's a very important position. There's no two ways about it. But at some point, we as a district have to say, you know what, we've put enough into that. We get the importance of that, but we've invested enough and put enough commitment into that from a revenue point of view. And let's move forward. So, again, I need to look at this, you know, digest it a little bit better, understand, just sharing with you some of my concerns.
And I would also like to take the document to our legal consultant to review. I think that some of the issues that you raise about legal implications of the structure of it, we ought to get an outside review and opinion about. Putting, and what I asked for in this draft was to put everything in a package in front of us. We don't have to say yay or nay as a whole package, but we need to find out what's the structure of a package description, and then we can go through. Go through the specific terms and conditions on a step-by-step basis if there are questions.
As it is now, I think I agree with Commissioner Connolly. I would want to table this to react. As it stands now, I'm not in favor of some of the things that are in here. But then again, the disagreement is okay, as long as it's cordial. So I would like the opportunity, and again, to take it out of the realm of personal, just to make this the best thing for the district and the individuals involved. I understand the roles, and I understand the needs, I believe. So I need to take this under advisement. I think it needs more discussion, thought, at least on my part.
One other question, if I may. Do we know the fire department, the water department, I assume, has an administrator?
Yes.
Do they have a three-year contract?
No. I don't know.
No, Jen does not have a contract. She's essentially an employee at will, like most everyone else at the water department is, I believe. I believe they do not have. I don't know if Chris does has a contract.
Jennifer, I don't know.
No, Jim, but the superintendent.
Chris Wiseman.
Wiseman. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he has a contract. He has a contract. So it's a no for me right now because we're gonna take it under advisement, right?
Right. So
right. I'm not asking for a vote right. on this document. But I have a meeting scheduled with legal consultant late this month.
Okay.
I don't know if we will get a chance to go over it. I will submit it ahead of that meeting.
Sure.
I want it on the agenda in August and would invite each of you, as I will do, to go through and make a list, questions,
yep.
concerns,
sure.
And I will disseminate or have the lawyer disseminate whatever feedback comes from their review, and we will pick it back up for further discussion with that additional information.
So, absolutely. One other question, and I keep saying one other, I apologize for that. We have other people that are doing administrative functions, right, within the fire district. Finance people.
Ray, the treasurer.
Ray, yep.
And the assistant treasurer.
The assistant treasurer. And how many hours are they?
Ray is half time with us and
not
half
sure.
time with.
So within the district, he's 40 hours?
Is Ray? No, I don't think he's less than 40 hours. I think
he's working for two different.
No, I know. That's why when you said half time, yeah. I thought maybe it was 20 and 20. No?
I'm not sure what the division is.
Yep, and where I'm going with that is, does he or she have a three-year contract?
I don't know.
I get the information if you want.
So I think that's worth finding out, and also, Chief, obviously, let's look within the water district first, right, within the fire district, as would be, right? And then let's also, are there other administrative functions, whether it be in Calm or in Mashpee, do we know?
Yeah, Comm's got contracts. They work under a contract there, the administrative people.
They do, okay.
Yeah. This was a lot of this was modeled after theirs.
Okay. So if you would maybe I'll grab you as a separate conversation what their type of role is, that type of thing, because I'd be curious to know what that is.
Sure. Yeah. I'd get a copy
thank
of their
you.
Contract for you.
Yeah, thank you.
And so we're gonna leave it at that, and this will be on the agenda in August to pick up the discussion.
Excellent.
Apparatus 266. It's been a really busy month, unfortunately, and we tried to get some help doing electronics, and we weren't able to get anybody. So I'm doing that, and it's just taking a little longer than I thought.
Did the radios come in?
The fire radios just came in on Friday. They were picked up today by the county radio techs to program. So hopefully they'll get programmed by the end of the week. But everything else in, the boat's getting bottom painted at the end of the week. Lieutenant McNamara has done a great job on duty painting the fenders on the side of it, so it looks very good. But it's close, it's just taking some time. So as a result, we put the old boat back in the water before the end of June, we put it back in the water just to, in the meantime, so we're covered. And we'll get the other one done as soon as we can. It's just been a busy month. 260 is on order. I think they're just due maybe September time frame. We also ordered ID packs for the SCBA, so our air tanks. It's been a move across Barnstable, across the Cape to have IDs, so when you're at a fire, it's just got on the back of your tank with a little canvas tag that says 265 or 263, so they just know where you. It's a better accountability for our firefighters across the Cape, so we went to a more of a universal across the Cape label, so we ordered those. Facilities,
Chief, if I can interrupt,
sure.
Before we move on to facilities, I had a thought. One, it doesn't happen often. And the thought was we do a contest in the village to name new 266.
I forgot to bring that up. I apologize. We talked about that, yeah.
See if we can get some kids excited about it. See if we can maybe... You know, wouldn't get painted or named this year, obviously, but if we can generate the excitement, and maybe next year it's the first one of the season, they can go out on it type deal and put it out, whether it's on, I have to talk to the union, whether they put it on their Facebook page, or maybe we get it out in the Currents and put it in the library and see if we can get some village excitement involvement relative to naming that boat.
Would the Civic Association be
sure.
interested in jumping in too?
Well, I believe they would. Despite their professed portfolio of only doing the 4th of July parade. Yeah. No, I'll I'll mention it to the board member that I know pretty well.
Do we have any direct contacts with the Mosquito Yacht Club?
Yeah.
I've been talking to them on a regular basis, too, yeah. I talk to them.
Their kids might be.
It's a great idea.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm for it.
So 2666 is not the name.
Well, it is. When we communicate, we've got a general naming scheme throughout the Cape and all our vehicles. So when we're on the radio, we're saying 266. If we name it, I don't know.
Fire shock. They're not going to say
whatever. They're not going to say that. We're not going to say that on the radio, but we can have it written on the side of the boat. The letters that say 266 Kituit Fire Rescue are probably going to be in by the end of the week, where that's what it will say on the side of the boat.
Yeah. No. That's cool.
Okay. But that. Maybe the same time the Civic Association would.
Grease Lightning or something.
You can certainly enter that. Yeah, I don't know if I'll vote for it, but
I'm not going to compete against a kid. That's not fair. Because I'll lose.
You're not allowed to put a name in.
I don't want to lose.
Maybe the currents or the Civic Association will all put an article about the boat in there, about it being free and the increase in response capability from it at the same time.
I'll mention it to Carol. We'll mention it to Jim.
Okay.
Also, I'll mention it to Tommy Burgess, and so that'll percolate through the Civic Association.
Sounds good.
As best as I can.
Good.
Facilities. We're going to have a busy month coming up. We have to put the RFQ out for the roof and the driveway. Hasn't been done yet. It'll be done shortly. Nothing new on the cancer medical insurance status. Nothing new there. Got a bunch of other stuff. Sorry, I know it's a long meeting. Kettleers, I've planned a first responder day this Sunday, 7:15. I think it's Sunday. First responders day, they're having the police in. Mid-flight helicopter is going to land in the field. They're planning to if they're not busy. We're going to be there with our on-duty crew. They want to honor first responders. They give hot dogs and drinks out to first responders, and they say have a little talk at the beginning. Last year, I threw the first pitch out. This year, they're trying to focus it more towards the police, given their significant loss they had recently. So they're going to have a big presence there with their their response team, whatever they call them, are going to be there as well with a lot of their vehicles. So. Mm-hmm.
Will this all be before a game?
Just before the game, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Just before the game on the 15th. I think it starts at 4:30. The game starts at 5:30, so 4:30 is.
I don't know. Near my house, the placards always go up to say 5. But
okay. Game's at 5, so I think 4 o'clock is when the people start showing up, the first responders. The helicopter, I think, takes off at 4:30, so they'll be there from like 4 to 4:30 if they're not busy. Mm-hmm. They are not dedicating a helicopter to coming down here, but they're going to try.
Right.
Over the last month, we did a controlled burn at the Crocker Camp. So that was organized through Barnstable Environmental Department. They got a grant for money funds to do it, brought in a private company, contracted partially with us. They paid us to also assist with it. They burnt up 22 acres. So that went really well. Unfortunately, it happened very late in the year. They wanted to do it earlier, would have burned better, would have burned up more material, but bad weather, you know, poor wind conditions. They only do it on specific days that the wind's not blowing it into the neighboring houses and that it's safe. So unfortunately, it didn't happen till late, which means we didn't get as much of a burn, material burn, as we would have liked to have gotten done. Part of that was an issue with Fuller's Marsh Road. So we recently found out that Fuller's Marsh Road was blocked off. The owner of the property, which part of it cuts through, decided on his own he was going to block off the road. So Fuller's Marsh Road was blocked off. We counted on that as being a fire access road, forgetting that area, but specifically for the Crocker Camp burn. It was nearby. There's a marsh in between. We wanted the ability to get in there in case something unforeseen were to happen.
Like a fire.
Which, I mean, the importance of that road is also important because that the Vineyard Road end of town during floods, Main Street is flooded and inaccessible. So that is a secondary means, and it's always been maintained as a secondary means of access, emergency access to that part of town. DPW has maintained the roads, and we're trying to get them in to fix it up because it's in extreme bad shape. So when we found that was blocked off, we contacted the owner and have had discussions with town attorneys, and they've had discussions with his attorneys, and it's gotten a little bit ugly, but the boulders that blocked it have been moved, pending further discussions, further lawyers getting involved. We found that the Kituit Water District has has a legal right-of-way over that property to install water lines. So we've got a legal right-of-way to inspect and maintain water lines. So we're working with town's attorneys at no cost to us to work on a solution that keeps that road open as an emergency egress for parts of town and fire access for an event of fires in that area.
Mm-hmm. Did we get a resolution on actual ownership?
The town attorneys worked with the owner's attorney, owner's attorneys, Mike Ford, and they had a meeting last week. I asked for an update what they had. They haven't got it to me. So they were doing title searches on all the properties. The road does go through, it's Frank McCourt's property. It does go yeah. through his property. A very small slice of it, just through the edge of it. Where he put the boulders, where his contractors put the boulders, according to the town GIS website, it looks like he put it on a neighbor's property. The neighbor didn't want it there. We haven't had this, the town was going to survey it. I haven't heard the results yet to see where indeed they're getting put. But in the meantime, the boulders have been removed, and we have found that we do have legal right-of-way over that property. So I don't believe they can put the boulders back either way. The town attorney said they work with us to try to find a way to take the property if we needed to keep it available as an emergency egress.
He's got more money than we do, don't
he? He sold the Dodgers for $1 billion, and he had the most expensive divorce in U.S. history, so I think so.
He's got a couple of grand bucks.
Maybe.
Chief, do we know if they were officially served, officially notified to cease and desist, or is it just kind of a gentleman's agreement at this point?
At this point, it's just a gentleman's agreement. They agreed, their attorney agreed to remove the rocks pending further talks. And that's kind of where it stands. So the town attorneys are helping us out, and at this point in time, see how we can move it further. They do the title search, and I'm hoping they find out the title search just says, you can't block it, period. That's the end of the day. We're all done. It's not going to cost any more money.
Right.
They may say that you can, and we have to legally take the property in a taking, which is an option. I don't know what that costs. I'll have to find that out and see what bring back options to the district on how we proceed. So, yep.
Thank you.
Hmm. Interesting.
I've been working with a town councilor, Jessica Rapazzetti, on the process. She's the one who alerted me this has been blocked off in the first place, so mm-hmm. she's working on the town end to help figure out where we go with this. Promotional testing, we are not exactly sure when the last promotional test was done for Kituit Fire, but we have to give one every 3 years. We believe that 3 years is very close. We're trying to find out exactly when it was done last. But more than likely, we'll have to announce a promotional test probably in the next week to meet the requirements.
So a promotional test is?
A promotional test, so to be promoted from, we have the firefighter rank and lieutenant rank. To go from firefighter to lieutenant, they have to take a promotional exam. Per contract, we have to give it at least every 3 years. 3 years is, we believe, up in January, which means we have to announce something in the next couple of weeks. It means we have to hire an outside company to give a professional exam that includes a written, an oral assessment section, and an interview section. So we're working on getting prices on that and getting that scheduled so that we meet the contractual requirements. There are no openings. We have no anticipation of being opening shortly, but we have to do it. So,
Chief, do we survey your guys first and say who's going to take the test before we do the hire?
Yeah, so the contract says we have to announce an exam 6 months in advance,
yep.
and they have to respond in writing to us 4 months prior to the exam that they intend to take it.
Okay.
So we will know within 2 months who intends to take it. If no one takes it, we don't buy it. We don't pay for the service. So we'll find a contract, find someone that can do it, and then make sure we lock in a date, but don't financially lock in until we know someone's actually got to take it. Mm-hmm. They will. The new contract we have specifies if you're not an officer and you're on the current promotional test, then you get an increase in your educational stipend.
Yeah.
So I can guarantee you there'll be at least two or three people. I think it's a total of five that are eligible, but there'll be at least two or three that will take it, guaranteed. We're working with the Marshall High School intern process. We've had a couple meetings and interviews with interns. We're working to come up with a consistent program that all the interns get the same experience no matter which department they're with. So there'll be field trip days where all the interns will go with one of the five fire departments chiefs, and they'll go to Mass Fire Academy or the County Dispatch Center or Forest Fire Control Center or whatever. They were coming up with a syllabus, basically, so they all get the same, essentially the same experience. And that goes along with trying to hopefully build new staff. It's worked out really well. I know Comm's hired a couple people, and has hired a few that have been interns in this program. So it's a good program. Mm-hmm. So we're working on that. We have a Town of Barnesville hurricane meeting come up with the police department on the 11th.
So the hurricane schedules?
There is one traveling up the Atlantic right now, not scheduled to come anywhere near us, but we want to make sure that the police and fire departments and DPW, everybody are on the same page, so that we know that prior to a hurricane, you know, we're all going to meet at a certain location, and that during the hurricane, we're all going to staff at a location, that we're going to communicate in on this frequency, and this is how we're going to coordinate our information. So that's, we're trying to get things in a row for that.
And that meeting will be where?
At the police department. 4th of July parade activities went well. We had one ambulance, two engines in it. Nothing to report. They ended up at the end of the parade and someone fell off a truck and they ended up transporting one patient to the hospital. It wasn't our truck. We had nothing to do with the incident. So,
I would like to note I didn't get any beads.
No beads.
No beads.
We didn't give out beads. There was some issues about what people were throwing out of vehicles. I guess there's a new requirement that Just Candy goes, and some people decided to throw T-shirts. And
Willabend always throws their little logo.
Yeah.
Kind of small thing.
I guess that's not allowed anymore. I think they were.
Well, I think
out
it's
it
been
something.
Not allowed for a while.
Yeah.
Keep doing it.
So I don't know. That's the Civic Association. So, but as far as our involvement, everything went well. Next item, Lucas purchase. So over the last month, since the last commissioner's meeting. We had extra funds in the ambulance account, and we purchased a Lucas. So the Lucas, we had an auto pulse. So there's a different manufacturer, Zoll, makes an auto pulse, and it's an automatic CPR device. The auto pulse wrapped around the chest and compressed to do compressions for the patient. We were the only one in the Cape, I think, that had one. Everybody else ran the physio control Lucas. And had good luck with it. They were trained on it. When people came to mutual aid, they didn't know how to operate ours. It was just, it wasn't as good a machine. It was bought years ago. We had extra money left. The manufacturer says, we'll give you a deal. We'll give the $15,000 machine, we'll give you $3,000 off if you give us your old auto pulse back, and you'll get it for $12,000. We also saved $2,000 a year. So the old one was a $3,000 a year maintenance cost. And this one's $1,000, so we saved $2,000 a year on top of that. Since we bought it, we've used it twice. We had one save with it. So two of the commissioners, they were up to the Boston Fire Academy, having some experience with it recently, too. It's a good device. Problem is, I made the decision to purchase this because I was very busy, and I didn't bring it to you guys. So what I should have done for a purchase of this extent is bring it to you, give you the rationale, and have you sign off on purchasing that something that's over $10,000. I didn't do that. I'm sorry. I should have.
To that point, let me just add for the record, the chief and I discussed the Lucas machine after the demonstration day in Boston, and we discussed the possibility that if there was monies left at the end of the year, it would be a very desirable piece of equipment. I also was negligent in the last month in terms of getting that information back to the two of you about the availability of this, and normally I would have, but that slipped through. So one of the things I'd like to do is put for the agenda in August a discussion of purchasing policy and finding a way to maybe establish a mechanism that would alert us.
I think that's a good idea. So because I think it's important to have some kind of mechanism so that we can actually communicate without running afoul of OML.
We didn't do anything illegal. It was on state purchase bids. It wasn't an illegal thing. It wasn't a good idea. I should have involved you in the process and brought it to you first. It was just. The law is for purchasing at the end of the fiscal year are very specific, and you have to do things by certain times, and it was just a crazy month, and I couldn't have brought it to you today. It would have been too late. We couldn't have used last year's funds. It has to be delivered before the end of the fiscal year. So it made it more complicated, and I skipped a step I shouldn't have skipped.
As did I. But had we had it all in place, it still would not probably have ended up on a meeting agenda in time. But at the information at least would have been circulated. So that's why I think if we can look to a mechanism that alerts us to things earlier and more regularly, we can avoid that bottleneck.
So, Chief, I appreciate you bringing that to us tonight. I look forward to the conversation we have as far as a mechanism to put in place to work. I will tell you, had we had the conversation, I absolutely would have supported the purchase of that device. I do understand that, as you say, it did save somebody's life already, so it was a fantastic buy. I think it's just as we talked about the mechanism of doing it going forward.
Yeah, no, I agree.
All goodness.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah, same thing. I would say that in this instance, it more than worked out. But
it did. But
we should have those kinds of.
And it came out of the specific line item it was supposed to come out of, and there was funds left in that line item, and it will save us money long term, but it should have been brought to you guys, and you should have known about
it. No, I appreciate the transparency and candidness on both your parts, but separating those two issues, for those kinds of things going forward, that's a great suggestion. We should do this. I'm behind 100%, but I also could we go back in time? Yeah, I'm sure all of us would.
I don't think there's any doubt you would have, but it doesn't matter. I can't just assume what you're going to say. I got to bring it to you. So.
I'd like to make a motion that we bring this meeting to an end.
Second.
Second.
Nope.
Third. Favor. Zano.
Conley.
Zace.
Out of here.